Lady Cecilia and her maid came aboard serenely, as if nothing had happened. Harris saw her eyes flicker at the change in uniform. Harris had squeezed in a visit to a good tailor, and while it was still purple, it lacked the scarlet, teal, and cream trim and about half its gold braid. The docking access tube still had a thick carpet, but the walls were properly bare for inspection, conduits and tubing color-coded in accordance with Transportation Department directives. Behind Lady Cecilia, her nephew and his friend straggled in. Harris watched them with contempt behind her motionless features.
Welcome aboard.
Harris walked past them, out the tube to the dockside. Bates was waiting in the passage to see to anything more they needed. She would have avoided the greeting altogether, except that she wanted to say a last few words to Brynear.
I hear you had a wager with your owner. She making you pay up?
She'd have let me off, considering the circumstances.
Harris liked his sort of toughness, his competence. He reminded her of the best she'd known, a memory she didn't want right now. She pushed it out of her mind.
But the forfeit's to learn more about what fascinates her, horses of all things. And if I'm to be a good captain for her, I need to understand her.
If it weren't rude and nosy, I'd ask you a question.
It is, and I won't answer it. I know what you'd ask, and I'm not ready to talk about it. Just wanted to thank you for a good job done well in a hurry. I'm glad we were able to argue our way past your schedule, and sorry to disrupt it.
You can disrupt my schedule anytime, as I would have made clear if you were leaving so soon.
Harris smiled. He was attractive, but not that attractive. Yet. The other memories were still too clear.
You can repair my ship anytime, as I did make clear, but I wish we didn't have to leave now. Thanks.
You're welcome, Captain.
Brynear threw her a civilian's version of a salute and turned away. Harris went back to the ship and thoroughly enjoyed showing her crew that she was as good as the former pilot at undock and tug maneuvers.
Oh, you shouldn't have insulted the captain to her face.
They were 2 days out of refitting, 2 days of cool courtesy between Cecilia and the young people. Ronnie pouted, but she did not relent.
Don't put out your lip at me. It was wrong, and you know it.
I didn't know she was there. I didn't know Aunt Cecilia had approved it. It's too bad, really. I never asked to come along on this ridiculous cruise. It was all my mother's idea.
You'd rather be supervising a loading team at Scavel or Shingsan? Come on now, Ronnie. This isn't bad. I admit I wasn't planning to be home for the season this year, no more than Bubbles. But it's not as if visiting my father were a hardship.
That's not what I meant.
Ronnie looked around for sympathy and found expressions that told him he was boring. And boring was one thing they would not accept.
Why don't we swim? Now that we can use the pool again, a nice swim would be fun.
Bubbles stretched her long, elegant arms and wriggled in a way that suggested something other than swimming. The others agreed. Ronnie knew he should swallow his sulks and go with them, but the sulks were too embedded. They turned to look back at him.
Go ahead. I'm going to try Begumin one more time.
That was the computer game they'd been playing until it palled, and Ronnie never had gotten above the 8th level. He had no real intention of playing Beggarman. He wanted to regain the ground he felt he'd lost with the captain. A private apology should do it. He had charmed his way past fiercer dragons than this. No woman of her age could be immune to boyish charm. He showered, put on a fresh jumpsuit, and looked at himself in the mirror. He slicked his hair. Innocence? No, it looked as if he were trying for innocence. He tousled it. Mischievous? Yes, that should do it. He waited until the others had logged into the pool enclosure. Then he strolled down the curving passage, slipped through the hatch between crew and staff areas, and found his way to the bridge. It wasn't that hard. He had memorized the ship plan on his desk comp.
16. 709.
The bridge did not meet his expectations. He had envisioned something like the bridge of a training cruiser. Aside from that, and the small craft he'd piloted, he'd never been aboard a ship. He stared at the small room crowded with screens and control boards, the watch seats crammed in side by side, the command bench hardly an arm's length from any of them. Something was going on. He sensed the tension. He had expected to find silence, even boredom. He had expected to be a welcome break in a monotonous shift, but no one seemed to notice him. With all the confidence of youth and privilege, Ronnie strolled into the crowded space.
Excuse me, but when you've got a moment, Captain, I'd like to speak to you.
He expected a prompt response. He did not expect the smart crack of an open hand across his face. It sent him reeling into the back of someone's chair. He grabbed for a support and found a handy rail along the bulkhead. His cheek hurt, his mouth burned. Anger raged along his bones, but he was still too shocked to move. He saw hands flicker across control boards. Just as he got his breath back, he felt the gut-deep wrench he knew from his one training voyage. The yacht was flicking in and out of a series of jump points. Anger drained away. Fear flooded him now. Jump transitions. They'd been near jump transitions, and if he'd interfered, they might all have been killed. The quick remorse he was never too proud to feel swept over him. He gulped back the apology he wanted to make. He should wait. He should be sure it was safe. Then Captain Serrano turned to him, anger on her dark face.
Don't you ever come on my bridge again, mister.
Ronnie's eyes slid around the room. No one looked at him.
Go on, get out.
But I came to say something.
I don't want to hear it. Get off the bridge.
But I want to apologize.
She took a step toward him, and he realized that he was afraid of her. Afraid of a woman a head shorter, in a way he had not feared anyone since childhood. She took another step, and his hand fell away from the rail. He backed up.
You can apologize to my crew for nearly getting us all killed, and then you can go away and not come back.
I'm sorry. I really am.
She came yet another step closer, and he backed up. She reached out, and he flinched. But she touched a button on the bulkhead, and a hatch slid closed 4 inches from his nose. Bridge access, press for permission, appeared on a light board above it. Ronnie stood there long enough to realize that his cheek still hurt, and she wasn't going to let him back in. Then he got really angry.
It wasn't my fault, George.
No one else had seemed to notice, but George had asked about the mark on his face.
I mean, it was, in a way. But I didn't mean to interrupt during a jump transition. She didn't have to take it that way. Damn military arrogance. She hit me. The owner's family. All she had to do was explain. Just you wait. I'll get even with her.
Are you sure that's a good idea?
But George's eyes lit up. He loved intrigue, especially vengeance. George had engineered some of their best escapades in school, including the ripely dead rat appearing on the service platter at a banquet for school governors.
Of course. She has other duties. We have nothing to do between here and Bunny's place but get bored and crabby with each other. First thing is, we'll get into the computer and find out more about her.
You could always give a little kick to one of her drills.
Exactly.
Ronnie grinned. Much better. A good attack beats defense every time. He'd read that someplace. Harris could have believed the sweet delight knew it smelled sweeter, or perhaps it responded to the change in the attitude of its crew. Without the sour-faced pilot and the inept moles, with the addition of two eager, hard-working newcomers, crew alliances shifted and solidified around a new axis, a healthier one to Harris's mind. They were not yet what she would call sharp, but they were trying now. No one complained about the emergency drills. No one slouched around with the listless expression that had so worried her before. Perhaps it was only fear of losing their jobs, but she hoped it was something better. It had been unfortunate that she'd hit the owner's nephew. She knew that. She knew it was her fault from start to finish. She had let them leave the hatch to the bridge open. On such a small ship, with a small crew, where the owner never ventured into the working compartments, it had seemed safe. She had not noticed when he came, and when he startled her, she had silenced him in a way that might have been hazardous, would have been with some people. She was ashamed of herself, even though they'd made it through a fairly tricky set of transition points safely. She called Cecilia as soon as they were through and explained.
It was my fault for not securing the bridge.
Never mind. He's been insufferable this whole trip. His mother spoiled him rotten.
But I should have...
It's not a problem, I assure you. If you want to feel chastened, schedule your first riding lesson today.
All right. 2 hours from now?
I'll be there. Regular gym suit will do for now.
Harris finished the necessary documentation of jump point transition, completed a few more minor chores, and left the bridge to Mr. Gavin.
This is your practice mount.
Harris had expected something like a metal or plastic horse shape on some kind of spring arrangement, but the complicated machine in front of her looked nothing at all like a real horse, except for the saddle, a traditional leather saddle, on a cylindrical section that might have been plastic. It could have been an industrial robot of some sort, with its jointed appendages, power cable connectors, sockets, and dangling wires with ominous little clips. Harris had seen something vaguely like it in one of the wilder bars on Durango.
But that was a mechanical bucking bull.
The jointed extension in the front acted as the horse's neck and head, allowing the rider to use real reins. At the moment, the real reins were looped neatly from a hook on one side.
There are sensors in the head which record how much rein pressure you're using and feed back to the software. Yank the reins, and this thing will respond very much like a real horse. You'll also get an audible tone to let you know when your rein pressure is uneven.
The VR helmet rose from a cantilevered extension behind the saddle.
It's set now at beginner level. I'll control pace and direction. You'll just feel the gates at first.
Cecilia stood near a waist-high control panel, which Harris noted had several sockets for plug-in modules, as well as the usual array of touch plates. Harris stared at the thing. She had not enjoyed the obligatory riding lessons at the academy that much, and this looked like the perfect apparatus for making someone look stupid and clumsy. But a bet was a bet, and she owed Cecilia 10 hours. The sooner she mounted, the sooner it would be over.
You don't have to use the VR helmet at first. Why not just get on and off a few times and let me start it walking?
Fine.
Harris tried to remember just how mounting went.
Left foot in the stirrup, but the hands...
On the real horse, they'd been taught to grip the reins and put a hand on the neck in front of the saddle. Here, that would have meant on a pair of gray cylinders like slim pipes. She put both hands on the front of the saddle and hauled herself upward. The machine lurched sideways and she slipped back to the deck.
Sorry, I wasn't ready to correct for that kind of mount. You need to be closer and push off more strongly with your right leg. Straight up, then swing your leg over. If you hang off the side of a rail horse like that, it's likely to unbalance, reach out a leg, and step on you.
Harris tried again, this time successfully. She felt around with her right foot until she got the stirrup on. Cecilia came over and moved her feet slightly.
Wait on the balls of your feet for now. We're going to start with a simple all-around seat. And no reins for now until you've got the seat right. Just clasp your wrists in front of you. Let me connect the other sensors.
This meant clipping a dozen dangling wires to Harris's clothing. She felt she was being restrained by gnats. Cecilia retreated to the control column and touched something. The machine lurched. Harris wondered if she was about to be thrown off, but it settled down to a rhythmic roll and pitch. Her body remembered that it felt quite a bit like riding a real horse.
It's strange.
Harris might have to take riding lessons, but she didn't have to refrain from comment.
It's expensive. Most riding sims are limited to 3 gates, 1 speed at each gate, and all you can do is go in a circle or straight. This one can keep me in shape.
Harris did not say what she thought this time. Keeping one old woman in shape hardly suggested that the simulator had great powers. She didn't have to refrain from comment, but she didn't have to be rude either.
Let me try the helmet now.
If her face was covered by that massive instrumentation, no sudden expression could give her away.
Go ahead. I think you'll be surprised.
The helmet had all the usual attachments and adjustments. Harris got it on as the sim kept up its movement. As her eyes adapted to the new visual field, she saw in front of her a horse's neck swinging slightly up and down with 2 ears, and reins lying on that neck, and a long line from the horse's head to someone standing in the center of a white railed ring.
It doesn't look like you. Who's the brown-haired man with his arm in a sling?
Sorry, someone I used to train with. Is that better?
Now, it was Cecilia, but a younger Cecilia. Her hair flaming red gold, her tall body dressed in sweater and riding breeches. She looked vibrant and happy and far more attractive than Harris had imagined her.
Yes. It really does look like a horse.
Of course, the simulator for a cruiser really did look like a cruiser, and the simulator for a station tug really did look like a station tug. That's what simulators were supposed to do. But maybe Cecilia didn't know that.
Like any horse.
Into the helmet appeared a dizzying array of horse necks and ears. Black, brown, white, gray, short, long, thick, thin, with and without manes. Harris blinked.
I can see that.
The visual settled back to the original neck and ears, light brownish yellow.
Now, you're going to reverse.
Harris expected to halt and back up, but reverse in this case meant making an egg-shaped turn and beginning to circle in the opposite direction, once more facing forward. Different terminology. She filed it away. Next time, she would be properly braced for the turn rather than the halt. By the end of that first hour, she had walked virtual circles in both directions, halted, reversed, and even done enough trotting to make her thighs ache. She remembered this from her academy days. There, too, they had walked and trotted back and forth until their legs hurt. It seemed pointless, but harmless, and it might even be good exercise. When she lifted off the helmet, Cecilia smiled up at her.
And did you find it as bad as you expected?
No. But is that all there is?
Not at all. I go faster.
You race?
Not racing. Eventing. Do you know what that is?
Harris racked her memory and came up with nothing. Event. Had to be a sporting event of some kind, she presumed. But what? She shook her head.
Would you like to see?
Yes, of course.
Anything her employer cared about that much ought to be important to her.
And now, taking the field, Lady Cecilia DeMarcos on Buccinator.
She had not expected anything like the cube Cecilia showed her.
You did that? That was you on that yellow horse?
Chestnut. Yes, that was my last championship ride.
But those obstacles were so big, and the horse was running so fast.
That's what's different about this simulator. You can do all that on it. Well, all but falling in the actual water or getting stepped on by the actual horse.
You mean I could learn to do that? To jump over things like that?
Probably not, but you could come close.
Cecilia extracted the first cube and fed in another.
This is what fox hunting is like. In fact, this is a cube I made 3 years ago.
You made?
Well, I used to be under contract with Yossi Sports. They'd mount the sim cam in my helmet, and I wore the wires as well.
Harris felt that she'd fallen into another layer of mystery. But she was tired of asking questions that must sound stupid, so she simply nodded. This time, the cube was not of Cecilia riding, but from the rider's viewpoint. She saw the green grass blur between the horse's ears, saw a stone wall approaching far too fast, and then it was left behind, and another appeared. Little brown and black and white things were running ahead, and other horses and riders were all around.
Those are the foxes you're chasing?
No! Those are the hounds. The fox is ahead of the dogs. The dogs find the scent and trail the fox, and the horses follow the hounds. I'm sorry. It's not fair if you've never been exposed to it. But I thought everyone knew about foxes and hounds.
No. Some of us had better things to do with our time. Some of us were off fighting wars so that people like you could bounce around making entertainment cubes for each other.
But that was not entirely fair, and Harris knew it. It probably did take skill to ride like that, although what the use of that skill was, once you gained it, she still could not figure out. Cecilia handed her yet another cube.
Here, this is the text of an old book on the subject, and since it's one of the few left, you might want to look at it. Bunny's designed his entire hunt around it. even though we know that it predates the 20th century old Earth, and things must have been changed afterwards.
Harris looked at the cube file labeled Surtees with suspicion. Apparently, she would be expected to watch it on her own time. Historical nonsense about horses struck her as even more useless than current nonsense about horses.
And to be fair, I think it's time I schedule my first lesson in shipboard knowledge, or whatever you want to call it. Do you have time for a student later today?
Of course. When would you like to start?
Well, after lunch.
Fine.
You could eat with me and give me a head start. I don't even know what you want me to learn.
Thank you. I am at your service.
The Serrano Legacy Hunting Party is continued on the next CD.